Hello, I'm Fatosola Adetosoye, and this is a segment of the Faces of Poverty podcast series from the Leadership Institute Fellows at the Center for American Progress. 50 years ago, President Johnson declared a war on poverty to help Americans fulfill their basic necessities. This included creating avenues of opportunity through jobs, education, and expanded access to health care for seniors, the poor, and those with disabilities. While we've made some progress in this area, leaders acknowledge an ongoing need to redouble efforts to create a stable economy that works for every American. The nation's rapid changing landscape creates challenges for all. We need to foster opportunities in transforming learning and address the pervasive opportunity gaps that continue to plague our nation, ultimately impacting poverty rates. This segment focuses on reducing poverty through educational opportunities. We will specifically discuss community empowerment to excel through digital education and STEM. To talk about this, we have a principal expert and community advocate involved in bringing STEM education to impoverished and underserved communities. We welcome Devon Rollins, senior engineer at MITRE. Hi, Devon.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Great. So, to get started, what role does technology play in combating poverty?
Look, technology has a role in combating all of the ills of the world, but not before we do as people and citizens of this society. Technology can be a means to collect better data to inform public policy, particularly policy that affects housing and shelter for this most vulnerable population. And might I add that access to technology can be what sports have been to so many disenfranchised communities. Could be a means of escape or an outward expression of creativity. Bridging the digital divide in this country does level the playing field and taps into a cache of intellectual capital that has gone untapped for far too long.
Great. I mean, I'm loving that whole statement around intellectual capital. And so as individual citizens, how do we go about responsibly assisting those we see in passing on a regular basis? You know, I'm talking about those who can probably benefit from our intellectual capital. Are those folks best served when we give them to a shelter or when we help them directly?
One of the best gifts we can offer is an acknowledgement of a person's humanness. We are all part of the same social fabric, and in this regard, parting from our phones or removing our headphones and offering a kind word or a compliment might just brighten someone's day. This is an act we should extend to anyone regardless of their social status. And to me, in the moment I lock eyes with a homeless person, I'm reminded of my obligation to give back and to be perpetually grateful for my station in life. And in being grateful, I can give, whether that be a smile, it could be a cup of coffee, it could be of my time at a local charity event, or it could be through some social advocacy work through social media channels. I really do believe that it all counts and it all matters.
Great. And so what you're talking about is humanizing homelessness and poverty in the United States and imparting some of your intellectual capital or expertise as one opportunity to actually give back. And so given what we know about the pathology of poverty, can learning 21st century skills like coding and other forms of technological innovations really make a difference for this population?
Absolutely. I think learning to code does garner a better sense of self and appreciation for how you think. It certainly was my experience. And the very nature of problem solving is applying a piecemeal approach. It's about applying building blocks until they tower in the form of some workable solution. It's most certainly a stunning feat and one that solidifies the value add of more people contributing to these massive social problems. In part, by doing these sort of exercises over time, you gain confidence in your ability to meet challenges head on. And it's this type of mentality. I mean, it is really this type of mentality that is the greatest combatant to the oddities and bad luck that life sometimes brings. It almost ensures that you have a fighting chance.
I mean, that's great. And I think this is actually a very different way to addressing or, I guess, contributing to homelessness and giving back. And so there's been some criticism around the idea of offering skills instead of money or offering skills instead of shelter to combating homelessness in the district and, you know, across the U.S., So with that being said, do you cringe at all at the thought of the white savior mentality when you hear stories like that of software developer Patrick McConalog and his work with the homeless person, Leo Grand.
Oh, yeah, I definitely remember this story. For the listeners, to recap, Patrick is a software engineer who passed a homeless man, Leo, during his daily commute to work. So wanting to help, Patrick decided he would conduct a social experiment and, of course, blog about it for the pleasures of whatever audience would listen. So this guy, Patrick, approaches Leo, the homeless man, with this ultimatum of offering him $100 or providing him with a laptop and free coding lessons for some odd number of months. Fast forward, Patrick received, to his chagrin, I'm going to say this very delicately, some pretty harsh reviews. To be fair, Patrick is 23 and white. He's young, he's privileged, but he's part of a generation that seems genuinely concerned with the well-being of others. And unfortunately, social media can be self-promotional, and to that extent, his lending a helping hand was not well received. For this type of assistance to work and for any assistance to those impoverished to be lasting and effective, the subject of our efforts should be on them and not on those assisting. Unfortunately, Patrick may be more of a fault to poor writing, or maybe just a bad decision to publicly blog about their progress, came off as superior to Leo. It had never crossed his mind that Leo has something to offer him, and so these presumptions tend to be dangerous and belittling, and they strip away at the agency of another person. I would say a fair assessment of the situation is to honestly wager if we understand Leo any better than before he was introduced to the world by Patrick. It feels as if Leo was no more than a prop in Patrick's self-consumed narrative, or maybe he was just a conduit for Patrick to elevate himself in the eyes of his peers, and not even for the population of people he sought to help.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that your perspective on that is actually pretty interesting. And I think what's very interesting is that Patrick is may fit within the bubble that is often described as the millennials. And we know that they move towards social media to do a lot of advocacy-based initiatives. And so as we continue to use digital technologies and social media to promote certain ideologies, you know, I want you to speak a little bit about how language or why language is so important regarding how we frame a number of issues, but for this conversation, specifically homelessness.
That's a really great question. Language, you know, particularly poorly chosen language, can reflect a privilege of obliviousness. And I think that that's something that Patrick suffered from. The framing of the poor now in the backdrop of the 50-year anniversary of the war on poverty seems to suggest that poverty can be eradicated with some magical silver bullet. And until our language becomes more compassionate, our actions cannot follow suit, and certainly not our public policy.
Great. And so I know you've been doing a lot of community work in this area in terms of exposing communities of color and other underserved populations to STEM. And so from that vantage point, do you really see technology as one of the exposure to technology, rather, as one of the strategies to reduce or hopefully eradicate poverty in the United States?
Absolutely. I think it's one of the few spaces, particularly with the folks that I've worked with in the past, where people get to conceptualize an idea in their head and then build it with their hands and feel as if that's actually worth something. Unfortunately, a lot of people have traversed and matured through life and have never heard that from anyone. And so I think that as a combatant to poverty, people need to have this sense of pride in their work, a sense of pride in the way that they think, and a sense of value in what they contribute back to society.
Great. That's awesome. And so, Devon, before we go to the end of this, are there any last comments or words of wisdom you'd like to impart onto our listeners?
Well, once again, I just want to really revisit this notion of humanness and understand that we're all part of the same social fabric. A lot of times it's easy to write off homeless people as people who deserve their lot. And I think a lot of people unintentionally take this stance. Everybody contributes. Right. And some of those contributions aren't purely financial in nature. But I do believe that they force us to look in the mirror and to be good stewards of our society.
And great. And, you know, definitely there are many perspectives we can take when addressing poverty rates and from the lens of homelessness in the United States. You know, as our nation continues to evolve, we need to continue to commit to an economic mission that works for all as one nation, one people. Education access and equity is certainly an essential component of this. There's a need to level the playing field and provide equal access to the tools and resources young communities, especially communities of color, to succeed in this newly digitized, ever-evolving global economy. STEM competencies are certainly a core component of all of this. And so, Devon, I'd like to thank you for your time and expertise. And definitely to our listeners, thanks for tuning in.